in Christ. It's the blood of Christ. It's our unity in Christ that ties us so closely together. I'm so glad that you're here tonight, and of course I always wish there were more, but this is sort of the core of the church. This is the representation of what I would consider to be the strongest of the membership, that we love the Lord that much, that we sacrifice our time and our comfort, and you know, we could all be home with our feet up and watching a game or two, but we're here. My son came over today and he watched a football game and I watched it with him, and I shouted and looked at the players and got excited about this tackle or that throw and just joined in with him, and it feels good, even though I really don't like football. But the thing that binds us together in that sense, besides just the football, but to be together and to talk and rejoice together and to yell and scream, that was a good thing. And as a church, we need that kind of a thing. We live in an age today where everything is divided. No matter where you look, on television, newspapers, whatever, there's such division in this world, and it is just absolutely horrible. We have a new theme for this year, and that theme is God made us alive together with Christ. But Paul wrote those words in Ephesians chapter 2 and at verse 25. And so we're going to talk tonight about being together, how important that is as a church. Some of you may recognize some of these slides. It was back in the early part of 2018 that I used this set of slides, although it's all been changed, the words behind them. And we want to talk about these things for some time tonight, and Lord willing, we'll be able to glean something from this and encourage the church in one fashion or another. Our scripture tonight is from Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, and I'm just going to read through there, and Lord willing, it'll all come together and make sense. Paul writes, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in portion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it to our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness," he tells us to work together and use our gifts in the church. And this is more important than some people may realize. We need that unity, and we need everybody working together. It was Aristotle who first coined the phrase, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. You know, when we think of that, there's a word in English called synergy, and that definition actually very well describes, very aptly, the concept of what Aristotle had said. Quite simply, it's the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or agents to produce a combined effect that is greater than the sum of their separate parts. And there is such wisdom in that. And that wisdom is something that didn't necessarily come from Aristotle, and we'll see that shortly. What does it mean to the brethren? You know, two are better than one. That's what Solomon said. That's what it means. The two working together are better than one. Why? Because we can produce so much stronger together. We can do so much more work together. And we all know that's true. There is no question at all that these things are true. I'm going to move this over here. I forgot I don't have that kind of a screen anymore. Technology, you got to love it. Two are better than one. Here's an example, and we've all seen this, a car, all in pieces. Each one of those pieces has value, but they don't mean anything. They mean nothing. When you don't have the pieces together, working together, that it's not really a car. It's sort of a waste. But when you put it all together, you end up with something that's valuable. The same thing with a computer. with a computer. You know, you have motherboards and you have cables and you have video cards and you have processors and chips and all kinds of stuff and USB ports and you, all in pieces, they do nothing. But when you put it all together, you have this powerful so-called machine that can help us from day-to-day lives. And it's the same thing with the church. When we work together, when we take all of our talents, as Paul described here in Romans chapter 12, if we're teachers, teach. If you're preachers, preach. If your ministry is powerful, then minister with all that you have. If you're somebody that's great at evangelism, then do that. If you're somebody that's good at exhorting and lifting people up, do that. Whatever that gift may be, and we all have a spiritual gift. There is none of us that lack something that can aid and assist the church. It's amazing when you put all these things together. You know, two are better than one, we said. That's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one. Two are stronger. Two can lift more. But you know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12, he said that though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. We're talking about the devil spiritually and the saints. When we all come together in the unity of the Spirit and the unity of faith, when we all come together and fight against false teaching, when we all fight against the denominational world out there, when we all fight together for the good of the church, to lift up Christ in the eyes of people and the truth of God's Word, it's so much more powerful when we do that together. In Ecclesiastes 4:12, Solomon went on to tell us something powerful. He said that a threefold cord is not easily broken. Three cords. So if you take one cord and you can snap it, you take two cords, it's a little harder. You take three cords and you can't break it. That's the theme. So we have many more than three cords in the church. We have an average of 40 coming to and from on Sundays, mornings. There's many more than three here. Just think of all the wonderful things and how powerful we are in Christ. Having His Word as the very foundation, the very rock upon which we stand. That rock that cannot be moved. And it's better because in His family, separately, we'll fail. But together, working together, we have something wonderful. And yet, you know, it's true. As a family of God, which we are, we need to aspire to greatness. We need to stand up and be seen. We have something that binds us together that no other organization on the earth has. It's not working, is it? Well, there you go. Gotta love technology. Remind me to go back and show you the first slide. We have something that the world doesn't have. And all the largest, you know, there's a corporation out there called McDermott. MDR on the stock market. Multi-billion-dollar company. And I have a little tiny bit of investment in this company since the 80s. And they've always performed. They've always done powerful. Their stock was up here around $10 a share. And in one day, it went to 50 cents a share. That big, powerful company. And you know what? That can't happen with God. God doesn't rely on anything physical in this world. God is powerful, will always be powerful. His church has the power of the gospel behind it, and that'll never change. We all have something in common, the blood of Christ, as a family of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. We are fellow citizens with the saints and members of, and you see that, the household of God. We're a family. And we're not perfect, but through the blood of Christ. So do we have troubles? Sure, everybody family has troubles. Can we get through it? Absolutely. Can we work together like that threefold cord? Absolutely. Can we succeed? Absolutely. There's nothing we cannot do as a family tied together. We're the ecclesia. We're the called out ones. We have so many things in common, and the greatest of them, of course, is the relationship that we have through Christ Jesus our Lord. We're no longer individuals disconnected. We're much more than that. This congregation, the members here, you know, maybe sometimes you feel disconnected, but we're not. We're much more because we are Christians. Together, we form a local congregation. Together, a congregation, a family in God. And what a family that is. Bound together as one body in Christ Jesus the Lord. With, of course, Jesus as the head. We're not little bits and pieces laying all over the place out, doing our own thing and ignoring the needs and the work of the church. But we come together. We worship together. We sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs together. We lift each other up. We glorify God in our worship. We remember the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of a church. We're not just little pieces. We are connected by the most powerful, by the most wonderful, by the most amazing, loving Creator God who ordained or predestined this church along with the whole church on the whole earth to be together and to have unity of one spirit. And we're not like the world out there that lets every little minuscule problem divide and they build up such big, you know, I can't help but remember watching a video not too long ago of a young man, part of a Catholic Church field trip to Washington, D.C., standing on the steps before the memorial of Abraham Lincoln, and some fellas up there in his face pounding a drum. And he's standing there smiling. Because what else is he going to do? But you know what was great about that? The news media took it. They called him all kinds of names. They called him an instigator. And you know what turned out? That young man had done absolutely nothing wrong. And the world's like that. They take the tiniest little thing and they grow it up into something horrible. But we're not that. We're not that. And we must realize that. We cannot accomplish things alone. We accomplish things together. As the work unfolds here at Columbus Street, it'll be successful if we do it in the Lord and if we do it with the Spirit of the Lord. It can't help but be successful. We just have to push harder each year. It has to be more and more and more unity, more and more working together. There can no longer be that idea of there is me, the idea of I, the idea of my. That's not the way it works. We need to eliminate that as a church. And listen to me, I'm not saying you can't use those me's and I's and myself in sentences. Because we do. Jesus used those words in the sentences. But what I'm saying is that it needs to be about we in the church. It needs to be about us in the church. It needs to be about our in the church. We're not like the world. We're not like the Democrats, Republicans. You see that on television. And it doesn't matter to me whether you're a Democrat or Republican. What problem is that they're divided by the spirit of this world, by the devil himself. And he wants nothing more than to see failure. We're united in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We're separated from the world by Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. And we need to work together that way. And you know, the more we work together, the stronger we are. The Navy has a saying. There's a saying, and I've never been in the Navy. Maybe Brother Andy can tell me if this is true, but the saying is all hands on deck. All hands on deck. And you know what that means? That means everybody. That doesn't mean go hide in your in the galley, if that's the right term. The galley You know, that doesn't, when he says all hands on deck, it doesn't mean that you're going to go down and hide in your quarters. It means get on the deck. We got work to do. You know, there's another saying in the Navy. And I don't know if this is true or not. Maybe it is. The captain goes down with the ship. You know, that's kind of foolish, but it's a saying. The captain goes down with the ship. If the ship's sinking, everybody overboard except the captain. And he's supposed to stand there in the, whatever they call that, in the control room. And as the ship goes down, the water comes up, he's supposed to be proud. Well, the church has a captain. And that captain is Jesus Christ our Lord. And he will never go down with the ship, because the ship is an eternal institution fashioned and designed by God to be an everlasting thing. That church, that ship, Jesus one day, our captain, will come and take that entire thing up into heaven. But you know, that doesn't mean that individual congregations, and when we say the church there, we're talking about the universal church, the spiritual church. But individual congregations, they can sink. And do you know why they sink? It's not because the captain's going down with them. It's because they don't have a captain. Or they've chose a different captain. You know, Jesus promised the church would be an everlasting church. He promised us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, and this is the promise that He promised us, eternal life. You know, 1 John 2, eternal life He promised us. So our ship's not going down if we obey Him and we abide by His commands. And part of that is what we read with Paul, that we all have something to do and we need to get to it. If the local church fails, its captain may go down with the crew. And so we need to think about that. It's all about we, us, and our. Cooperation is just a fundamental concept. And then, you know, if you look at Romans with me, in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, what you see there is that we're one body with many members. We're one body with many members. And we all have different functions. We all have different value. We all have different jobs to do. But if one part doesn't do its job, then the whole is incomplete. If you're driving a car, Brother Dominic just got a flat tire the other day. You're driving a car, your tire goes flat, things aren't working like they should. You drive your car and you run out of oil and the motor doesn't work like it should. What good is a car without a motor? What good's a car without a steering wheel? What good's a computer without an electric outlet? It's the same thing as the church. We're one body with many members, and we all have something to contribute. But the church without exhortation is not a church. The church without liberal givers can't function in this world. The church without leaders is not a church. Without teachers, it's not a church. Without mercy and without cheerfulness, it is a dysfunctional church. And that those of us that have been in the church for a while, we know that there are churches that have gone by the wayside because of these very reasons. And I might add that not only is it a dysfunctional church, but it's also a dying church. You ever see a car up on blocks? You can't use it. You can't drive it. It looks neat. You can put it in your backyard or something. And I had a Nissan Sentra that I got from my mother, and the Nissan Sentra, the motor blew up. I had it in my backyard for what? 3-4 years. Looked pretty cool back there. It was dysfunctional. It was dead. And we can't be that way. If it doesn't have a bumper, it can't protect you. If it doesn't have a battery, the engine won't start. If you don't have a key, how will you start it? And so it is with the church. And remember this, brothers and sisters, understand your calling. If you're going to be pleasing, brethren, to the Lord, then we need to be pleasing to the Lord together. Together we'll succeed. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. And you think about what the Apostle Paul is saying there. You know, it's the opposite of what the world teaches today. That world, this world that we live in, we have that old devil out there, the Satan, the liar, the father of lies, the deceiver, and he just teaches division everywhere. He wants the churches to be divided. And he's done a pretty good job of that. We together, the church that is, we want to teach unity, equality in the church. Unity in the body of Christ, the church. The idea that we're all one in Christ. And when we say that, we don't have popes and bishops and archbishops and priests in the sense that some churches do. We don't have a reverend that runs everything or a singular pastoral system. We're all equal in the church. None of us is above the other. Christ is the head. He's above. And this is of utmost importance when we think about it. There's no part that is greater or lesser as far as value in this church. Together. We're no longer individuals. We're a church. A congregation in Christ. And the whole of us is greater than the individual sum of our parts. Together we aspire. And we can't do it alone. We aspire to be useful to one another. We aspire to be useful in the kingdom. And we come together to be useful to our King. We cannot do that alone. And we're one body with many members. We all remember that. Think of that, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, when we look at that, Paul says that, are we all eyes? No, we're all different. We're not all ears. We're all different. Everyone has some special gift, some special thing to add and to give. Something powerful. Remember in verse 22 through 23 in that same chapter, Paul said that there is a lesser vessel, something that gets greater honor. And he's not talking about an individual that's lesser in value to the Lord. We're all of great value to the Lord, but some people are weaker vessels. And God designed the church to glorify them. In verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as He has pleased. And I think that's powerful. God, remember this morning, God doesn't make mistakes. And things will be as He pleases. And He will lift up and encourage and exhort us as we work. So the preacher's not more important, the teachers aren't more important, the elders aren't more important, the deacons aren't more important. Older members aren't more important than younger members. No, we're one. And we all have something special to offer. If one member suffers, we all suffer. If one member's honored, we all honored. If one member rejoices, we all rejoice. And that's the whole idea for the church. You know, we have some members that are suffering now, and we all pray for them. We talk about them. Many of us are making visits and calls to them. It's because when they hurt, we hurt. And we have two children been born into the church. And we all rejoiced at that. We rejoiced together. And so when these things are true in the church, it's a wonderful thing. Because we're able to say, wow, my brother did this or my sister did that, and we can lift them up and encourage them and feel good right along with them. It's a great thing. that the church does. A family shares things together. They share the hurts and the pains. Right now, Brother Danny Allen is sharing pain. And some of us are sharing that pain right along with him. When something happens, we support one another. We don't leave people left in the dark. And let's remember, you're very important. If I had room on the screen, I would put very, 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 very important. Because I don't even think that's enough. You're mega important. You're more important than anything there is in existence. Yeah, you're more valuable than the birds. You know that, right? Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. You're more valuable than the birds. Psalm chapter 8 and verse 3, you think of the heavens and the sun and the moon, you're more valuable than that to God. All of creation. And if you even question your value, remember that God sent His Son into the world while you were still a sinner to die for you. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. He did that. And He must have considered you pretty valuable to send His only Son into the world to do that just for you. So if you're a greeter at the door, smile. You know what? That lifts people up. You maybe don't even know how important that is for somebody to see you smile as they walk in the door. It's like a restaurant and a server in a restaurant. You know, that server smiles and treats you nice, it makes you feel good, and you want to give that server a big tip. And I'm not suggesting that you go out there and tip Dominic. But you could give him a hug. You can give him a smile. Thank you for what you do. It is so important. Everyone brings something to the table. We need that unity. We need that cooperation. Paul wrote that only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ so that whether I come or see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs. Look at that. That you stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together. You know, that war that we're in, we need to strive together in that war. Because that war is with the devil. That war that we're in, that battle that we're in, is all against the devil. What we don't want to do is have a war amongst ourselves. We don't want that. We want our struggles to be fought and the battle, the spiritual battle, to be won because of the power of God's Word and because of our due diligence to study that and to live by that. We want to win the war together. Our goal is the same. All of us want to have heaven one day as our home. We want to have one mind and one spirit. We want to have one faith of the gospel. And we're able to follow all the examples in scriptures, are we not? Great examples of cooperation. And when you look at that, think of Nehemiah chapter 2, one of the great shining examples of cooperation as they're contemplating rebuilding the wall. And Nehemiah, you know, he's prayed and prayed and prayed, and he can't do it alone, so he gets the brothers in Israel to come together and work together. They're going to tear things down that need to be torn down and build things up that need to be built up. And their enemy, the devil, has it in mind to destroy them, but he can't do it because they're one, working together. And you can read about that in Nehemiah chapter 2, 3, and 4. All the great things that have happened. You know, and this great shining example, you know, you don't have to rise up and build by yourself. There's nothing needs to be done alone. Because God wants us to be together. Not just to talk. They didn't do that. They got up and they did the work. They rose up together to do the work. Verse 2, verse 18. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. Let us rise up, he says. And he also, after that, said, and they put their hand to the work. They, together. They put their hand to the work. They didn't just talk about it, but they did it. And as you look at chapter 3, what you see there is the next two. There were people that worked next to each other all the way through that chapter. In fact, there's 18 times that you read, next to them, they worked. Next to them, they worked. Good example. Everybody was in on it. Everybody was doing something. Everybody's building. Everybody's making repairs. Everybody's fortifying. And everybody's working together to protect. And they weren't afraid. Why were they not afraid? Because God was with them. That's why. That's why. Don't be afraid, it says in verse 14. Don't be ashamed of your identity. You're the church of Christ. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. You're brothers and sisters in something that God put together, and we need to be proud of our God that He foresaw enough to save us through His Son. That's what God's telling us. That's what God's always told us. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for one another. Fight for what is good. Fight for what is right. Fight for truth and mercy and righteousness. And, of course, for love. You know, we're constantly going to be at war against the devil. There's constantly going to be fighting. But there's going to be a great and awesome day coming, and that day's going to come when the Lord returns and takes this wonderful institution right on up into heaven. What a great day that will be. They built together, they weren't ashamed, they weren't afraid, and they were proud of who they were. And they remembered the great and awesome Lord. You know, anyone who fights against us should be aware that we're not fighting alone. We have the Lord on our side, and we have the church together on our side. And so we move away from me, we move away from my, and we move away from mine, and we get away from those things. And we talk about us, and we, and our. If we meditate on those kinds of things, guess what? We'll find out that the church does include everyone. Every man, woman, and child. There is no one left out. Everyone is useful in the Lord's kingdom. But whatever we do, we need to function as a whole, as a unit, tied together. We have to do it together. That's the character of the church. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. You remember that? Iron sharpens iron. So a man does what? He sharpens the continence of his friends. We do that together. A strong, and they sharpen and they work together and hone the precious skills that God has given us. And we lift one another up and build one another up in the most holy faith. Brothers and sisters, we are here tonight together doing the same thing, hearing God's Word, hearing teaching and thinking about meditating upon the things of the Bible. And when we do this, realize that it is by one blood, that is of Christ, that we've been put into one body. One body. One blood, one body. And we have the one Spirit of God together. Together, we have one hope. In the Word of God, together we have one Lord. Together we have one baptism. And together, by one God and Father who is in us all and above all, in all and above all and through us all, we're together. You know what's really sad in our world today is if you have not accepted that gospel. It must be painful for some. Because the words together aren't inclusive. So many people follow false doctrine today because they believe that everybody's going to heaven. We're all going to be together. So, you know, why bother with these things? But I'd like you to turn your attention tonight to the book of Luke. And chapter 14. And if you just kind of turn there your eyes to verse 27, Jesus says, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In other words, you can't be together with him. But he goes on there and he talks about somebody that has to count cost. Whoever intends to build a tower and doesn't sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it. Well, let me tell you, you don't have enough money in this world to build the kind of tower that it takes to get to heaven. And you should think that through. There is no amount of money, no riches, no amount of material that you can use to get to heaven. You can only get there through Jesus. Jesus goes on to say that this man began to build, he was not able to finish. And he says in verse 31, or what king is going to make war against another king? And he doesn't first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to meet him who comes against him with 20. Jesus Christ, if you're fighting against the gospel, you're fighting against the Son of God. You're fighting against God. And no matter how strong you are, you're going to lose that battle. And I think that's something that you should count as you sit and think about obeying the gospel of Christ. Jesus in verse 33 says, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Are you willing to forsake this world and everything in this world to be one of Christ, to be part of this magnificent institution called the church? You know, our song of invitation, 813, I, just as I am. You don't have to build a big tower or a strong army. God will accept you just as you are right now tonight. There's nothing you need to do but obey the gospel of Christ. Just believe and be baptized to have your sins washed away, calling upon the name of the Lord. And you'll be added to this wonderful thing called the church. And if you're separated in some manner because maybe you didn't quite count the cost right, or there's some issues in your life, you can make that right with God too tonight, by repenting of those things and be restored again back to the Lord Himself. Have that right relationship and keep on moving forward in the church. What a wonderful thing it is that God loves you that much. So if you have need this night, I invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.